Welcome to the Clear to Close podcast with your host, local mortgage expert Ryan Bolton. Ryan has the questions and answers, tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, and expert guests to explain all the steps needed to buy or sell real estate. And now it's time for the Clear to Close podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan and I am a mortgage nerd. Thanks for watching the show here. You can click to subscribe, check out our shorts, check out our other videos. Really enjoy doing this. It's really fun. Kind of keeps me on my toes and tries to maybe make me a little more of an industry expert by being able to kind of research topics and have a lot of fun with the show. So today I saw something that I thought was pretty interesting, and I think it's really relevant to what we're talking about with the industry in general. And it kind of poses this question. Is it better to rent than to buy a home? The answer is no. That's it for the show today, guys. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week. Okay, we're just kidding. I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm going to say it's better to buy than it is to rent. Now, there's always a time and place to rent. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're just getting out of school, if affordability, obviously, you can rent for a lot cheaper than you can buy a home. And maybe you're not settled yet. Maybe it's something where you're not in your career yet. You're still going to school or haven't gotten married yet. Kids, totally get it. There is a time and a place to rent the home. But as soon as you can buy, the sooner you can, the better off you're going to be. So I want to show you some proof to that. I want to show you some numbers. I want to show you some other slides here. We're also going to be talking about appreciation and some other factors and also some non-financial reasons. Obviously, there's a lot of financial reasons to buy a home, but there's even some non-financial reasons. So let's check out slide number one here. This is a chart that shows you the average rent versus the average mortgage home payment over 50 U.S. markets. So it takes a good snapshot of everything that's available there. And you're going to see that it's going to be more expensive to own a home than it is to rent. You're going to see that top number there. You're going to see the average. Obviously, if it's a one-bedroom, two-bedroom, kind of goes up. And so it really does average things out. But the idea is it's going to cost more. It's going to cost you more to own a home than it is to rent. So what do you gain for that difference? What is the benefit of kind of jumping up the cost of renting versus the cost of buying a home? And those are some of the charts I want to mention here. So let's go to slide number two real quick. This right here is showing the average appreciation over the next 5 years that is predicted from a bunch of different sources. They kind of take a median home price, a median appreciation that we're going to see. Now, we may see it go up or down over the next 5 years, but gives you kind of a rough idea what you should gain in appreciation over the next 5 years that you won't gain with the rent. When you're renting the home, obviously, you're not gaining the appreciation. In fact, and most likely in the next 5 years, your rent payment will also go up, where your mortgage payment will stay much more steady, much more locked in. Now, the interest rate, if you do a 30-year fixed, will be the same. Principal and interest will be the same. But you may have your taxes and insurance might change a little bit, but they're usually very small. You don't see dramatic changes to those very often unless there's a dramatic change to the home value if you're a tax-assessed state or if you have an HOA and they have some sort of big assessment that kicks in. But generally, taxes and insurance, HOAs, are usually pretty slow to increase, especially over a five-year window. You'll see bigger increases if you go out further than that. But this is just showing you, okay, over that time frame, if home appreciation is kind of what they're going to model, what they have modeled over the last 50 years, this is how much you will gain in value over that time that you're owning the home. So let's go to slide number three. So if you take the difference between, here's the forecast. So this is where the numbers come from. So these are about five or six different forecasting sites that are gathering the data to be able to figure out, okay, what our home price is going to be. And you can see something interesting. They predicted much, much slower, as you see in that first column. In the second column, they've all revised their searches way up. So even though interest rates have moved up, we've moved off some historically low, cheap, given away money kind of interest rates back more to about a 70-year average, you're still seeing that home prices are going up. You're not seeing these collapses or big corrections of the housing market going down, nowhere near what we had in 2008. It's funny, the more you talk about 2008, the more it's just becoming more and more and more distant. And anything up to 2008 was really rare for home prices to really have major corrections. And why is that? Because most people will make their payment on their home before they'll make their or miss payments on other things. So they're less likely to go into foreclosure. There's equity there. Usually the longer they own the home, the more that equity goes up. So they don't have to foreclose. They can sell the property. They can cash it out and roll it into another house. So really high levels of foreclosures are really a rare thing throughout the entire history of the mortgage world, other than that 08 financial crisis where they're just loaning to the wrong people, 100% financing, no skin in the game, just crazy things happened in 2008. They've really been flushed out now for well over 10 years. You know, a lot of the legislation that was in 08 didn't kick in until a few years later. But I mean, we're pushing 20 years when really there's been any kind of major correction, even after what we've seen in rates, even what we're seeing with home prices. You just haven't seen anything where you're seeing homes go down in value. So we're seeing the numbers here. We're basically staying pretty flat. Now, most of them are going anywhere between a 4 to 5% increase, which we'll get to a couple charts here in a minute, why they're predicting that it's going to go up that much. A ton of it just has to do with supply and demand. So let's go to the next slide real quick. This is the slide that takes into consideration the 5% increase in equity or appreciation over the next 5 years versus that extra money you're paying for a mortgage versus the same home that you would rent for. And you can still, you're still almost $64,000 ahead over the next 5 years than you would be with a rent situation. And also, this isn't calculating if the rent goes up over the next 5 years, which it most likely will. It's much more likely the rent's going to go up than it really is that the home prices are going to go down. I would say that's hugely different. The rent's more likely to go up and your home's value way more likely to go up than down. So it is something where over the next 5 years, just if your rent stays the same and you have the normal appreciation over the next 5 years, you're talking about almost a $64,000 increase in value. Now, people say, well, I don't want a 7% interest rate or 8% interest rate or even a 9% interest rate on the mortgage loan. What are you paying in interest on your rent? So over 100% when you factor in you're missing out on this $64,000 and the tax benefits and appreciation and just locking in that payment. Now, again, not everybody's ready for rent. Not everybody's ready to own. Some people need to rent, maybe because they can't afford anything that's even available or they're just not set up yet. They're not in their job. They may move out of the area. I totally get it. There's still a place and time to rent, but I think too many people wait too long. They wait for the stars to align and they never really will, because as soon as you're able to afford a higher payment, maybe rates or availability is going to change. Or you're going to now have your rent go up, so now your expenses to just stay in the current home that you have or find some other home has gone up and you just kind of get stuck in that trap. So maybe that's something you got to settle for something a little smaller. Maybe you got to find whatever kind of fits the budget and just buy what's available. But I think in 5 years, you'll be ahead of the ballgame. You really will be, because now you have equity, you have a locked-in payment, you'll have an investment property that you could turn into a rental. There's just a lot of flexibility with that. Now, I think you're going to see, as home prices have gone up, especially desirable areas like Southern Utah, you have so many people that are not deriving their income from Southern Utah that are retiring here, that are already maybe upgrade borrowers that already have equity they're rolling from a previous home they bought 4, 5, 10 years ago. So you're definitely at a disadvantage to buy your first home in Southern Utah. Just the median incomes have never really afforded the median home here in Southern Utah. But it is something where you're seeing more families teaming up, or brothers and sisters, or friends that go to college or high school together, say, what if we just buy our first home together as roommates, and then that way we're at least owning a home instead of renting, and then we can come up with an agreement to split equity after that, or maybe one person will buy out the other person down the road as their situations change. Now, there's nuance with that, absolutely. I mean, I've seen so many relationships, whether it's family or friends, get blown up when business or this type of stuff gets involved. So there's right ways to get it structured. There's just right ways to do it up front to make sure this is a business transaction. Everything's on paper. The splits are all figured out just so you don't end up blowing up that relationship. And it might be even someone you're already a roommate with, which helps, that you're just going from roommate to owning a home. But I think that's going to be one of the solutions you're going to see, is people are going to have to kind of team up on that first home instead of having a first home they're buying on their own, especially in Southern Utah. Or you're going to have to commute. Most people that are the workforce in any of these areas, whether you're talking Palm Springs or Monterey or St. George or Park City, some of these areas are a little higher end, their workforce is just further out of town. That's just kind of the nature of the cost of the land, the cost of just the price of the home is going to be cheaper. I remember when I first moved here, like Hurricane was kind of cheaper. Now it seems like that's got to be moved out to Apple Valley or Beaver Dam in Arizona or Central, some of these areas that are a little more of a commute to get into town. And I think that's just kind of the nature of what it is, because we live in such a desirable area. And we have so many people who have discovered this area as upgrade or move up type borrowers that are bringing a lot of their income with them or bringing a lot of equity with them from homes that they've been able to sell that they bought 10 years ago or 20 or whatever it is when they're retiring to Southern Utah. So let's check out another slide here real quick. This one here is, I like this one here. It's the, there's a poll that was done on the non-financial reasons to own a home. I think there's big reasons to buy it financially. We've talked about your net worth increases. You've talked about tax benefits. There's appreciation. There's the locked in payment. But I like this one. This is actually what most people that were polled that said the non-financial reason to own a home that you won't get from renting. 94% love the security of the home. Being able to, or sorry, I think it's 94%. I can kind of barely see the screen. it says, what does that first one say there? Freddie Mac? I can't even remember my slide.
94, having control over what you do with your living space.
Yeah, so being able to customize the house, being able to have a little more room between you and a neighbor, having a little more room to be able to customize a home that you want to do. I mean, these HGTV shows are so much fun. I love watching them. Now, some of them get a little unrealistic with how much they made when they flipped a home and the cost and time and effort and all that kind of stuff. But that's just part of a television show. But it is something where that is a big motivating factor for people. They can put stuff on the walls. They can paint the walls if they want. They can customize it. They can, you know, a lot of people are in the industry, construction industry, and they can redo the countertops or they can redo the landscaping or they can do those types of things with a lot more freedom because you own the home. There's just a freedom with that you don't get from renting. And I've even had people that sit there and spend a bunch of money on remodeling a home they rent because they have such a desire to customize their space or make it a little bit better or make it more functioning or just have that sense of ownership to say, I want the bathroom to be different, or I do tile on the side. I'm going to tile this because it just will look better and it'll function better. And it's funny, about people have a natural desire to want to do that. When you own a home, it just goes to another level. It just goes to a totally new level. You got a fun little project for the weekend. You saw a video on TikTok or whatever, making a flower box or, you know, some sort of planter box for the backyard. Or, I mean, those things are just fun to have. Home improvement projects are a lot of fun and frustrating at the same time, but that's just kind of the joy of owning a home. That's one of the big reasons why people buy a home that isn't necessarily a financial reason. 94%, we're definitely talking about privacy, more security, having that locked-in payment, having just knowing exactly what your expenses are every month. That's a sense of security you won't get with rental. Because I know so many people, they know their lease is due this year, and a lot of people are nervous of what's going to go to. And it's not the fault necessarily of the landlord that their expenditures may have gone up if they're covering utilities or land maintenance or, you know, landscaping and stuff like that. Maybe they do have to raise that cost of rent as well. And most of the time it's just because somebody else is willing to rent for more. There's somebody else that can pay more and they're like, well, I can keep renting to you for $2,000, but I can rent it out for $2,500. So all my expenses have gone up as well. Why would I not take that increase in that payment? Even though their mortgage may have stayed the same or might even be free and clear. But their other expenses have gone up. So you are seeing that is a nervous thing that people are thinking about when the renewal is coming up. I mean, I know so many people that they have that date ready to go and they say, well, I don't know if we're going to renew. I don't know if they're going to kick us out. I don't know if they're going to sell. That just adds a little sense of anxiety and nervousness that you wouldn't have if you actually own the home. So 91% really mentioned that's another reason that's non-financial, is just that security, privacy of just having your own home. And then the last one, 90%, what does that last one say there? I think it says, just a little smaller.
Having a good place for your family or to raise your children or chickens. Oh, no, just children.
Children. So, yeah, just having, and that's another reason why you go from renting to owning, is you've made a step of marriage or you got kids on the way. There's just something about having a home of your very own. You're usually more established. You've got your job, your career. Obviously, something can change where you have to move because of career or the company shuts down. Sure, that's always going to happen. But generally, that's another big indication that there's kind of big moments in our life, graduation, getting married, buying a home. It's one of those things that really is one of the big steps. So that's when you get to the point where you want to have kids and you just want to have it more stable. You want to be able to have their own room. They want to be able to have their own backyard where it's safer, maybe not neighbors right on top of you, that type of stuff. So that's some of the non-financial reasons. It starts to make sense when you've been renting for a while. It's okay, now it is time to buy. And maybe you do have to back up a little bit on the quality of home or location or something like that just to break into it. But I know that if you just find the home that fits the budget, find the program that works for you, even if it is a little bit of a sacrifice in a way, it is worth it. Especially if you go out 3, 4, 5, 10 years, it will be worth it. Very, very few people regret owning a home. Even during 08, even when it bounced back within a few years, and most people have already been able to rebuy since the 2008 stuff. So it is something where I think it's worth it if you can make those numbers work. All right, let's look at another slide here real quick. Here's our slide number 5, I think. Oh, there it is. Okay. So this right here is the new listing count. The reason I wanted to bring this up, this is Washington County data. The blue is what is in southern Utah, and the yellow line is the national average. So you can see we're actually below the national average on the listing count. And you can see it's gone up this year. There has been more listings that have hit this year. And you usually see that in the first quarter of the year. The holidays are over. A lot of times you'll see some homes that get kind of taken off for December, put back on in January. Southern Utah is really big in February. We usually have an uptick because of the parade of homes. So you're going to see a little uptick in that first quarter of the year around the nation, but especially in Southern Utah. But what you're noticing here, it's dropped. So we had January and February spiked, which we're normally see to do, but March actually dropped pretty big, bigger than I thought it would, with active and new listings. And that kind of indicates that the supply is still not catching up to demand. So what happens if there's less homes on the market and there's still the same number of buyers? Now, buyers have definitely slowed down. That's why I think inventory is also slow, but it's almost been more. Like, supply is actually lowered more than the demand has slowed. So that makes you wonder, okay, what's going to happen to home prices? If interest rates do drop, which there's a ton of talk that they probably will after the election, maybe right up to the election, whether the Fed does something right before that or not, there's still a lot of talk that the pressure to move rates down is probably greater than for rates to move up any higher. So if you got all these buyers that are sitting there, inventory is even lower, and that all of a sudden turns back on, what's going to happen? Well, now you're going to have one house that 10 buyers are going to be wanting to buy. Out of those 10, what's going to happen? There's going to be four or five that are willing to pay more or willing to offer more or take away contingencies. I think you're going to see another one of these run-ups where of the 10 people that want to buy, especially if rates dip, three of them are going to be the ones that buy. So if you're not in a position now to be ready for that, I think you're going to miss out. Even if you, in worst case, if you have to take the rate today and rates do drop next year, well, great. Now you're able to take advantage of that appreciation and be able to refinance if need be. So I think there's still more reasons to be looking ahead. Timing, it's almost impossible, but I feel like there's going to be a rush of buyers probably here pretty quick. The summer months are always going to be a little bit more movement. Kids get out of school, people upgrade, downgrade. Even in a warmer climate like Southern Utah, you will see people that will buy more likely after about June or so. So the pump is getting primed, and yet there's no inventory to buy. So you're going to be even more limited on the homes, and you're going to have more buyers fighting for the same number of homes. And the owner, just like we saw back in when this whole thing kind of hit with COVID, you really had a lot of buyers that were, or sellers that were like, you know, we put it on the market for five. We got offers at 550. You know, we weren't pricing it wrong. Just people were willing to pay more because they wanted to move. They wanted to be here. The rates were so low, they figured they could make it up. And you can see those people that still bought at 550 are still ahead of the ball game, even when they overpaid, quote unquote, overpaid or offered more than asking price because of the benefits they had of buying that home. Now, we don't have the combination of the interest rate. There was a huge benefit to buy when those prices were really going up. But we're still having almost more of a problem with supply versus what happens if that demand kicks up at all. So I want to show you this chart to show that Southern Utah is actually ahead of the curve or behind the curve on adding listings or adding new inventory, even though our demand is still there. Our demand is really there. So let's go to the next slide. So this right here is now showing months of inventory. This has been probably the longest, what we would call a seller's market, that I've seen in my career. And really, that's just a fancy name of saying, okay, if we didn't add any more homes to the MLS or didn't add any more homes to be sold, and we kept the current sales rates, so the same number of buyers were buying, but no more homes were being added, when would we run out of homes? That's really the simplest way to break it down. No more inventory, keep the demand, when do we run out of homes? If it's less than 6 months worth of inventory, it's always been considered a seller's market. Now, we may have to change that because it's been under 6 months for so long that maybe that needs to be looked at like 4 months or something. But we've been under 3 months for a long time. That means if we didn't add a new home to the listings, if we didn't add a new home to buy, we'd run out in 3 months. That is crazy fast to just completely run out of homes. And it's getting worse. As you see on the chart here, it's actually gotten worse over the holiday months, which there is a little slowdown in December. You'll see a little bit less getting added. The holiday months are more people are focused on that than buying a home. But you usually see an uptick to offset that in the first quarter of the year. And if anything, it's gone down even more. So it's like, wow, okay, we're well below the national average of days on the market, the months of inventory. So that's why you're seeing these predictions change so dramatically from a slower appreciation to even maybe an accelerated appreciation again because there just isn't enough supply. Supply and demand is going to dictate the price way more than interest rates. And in fact, interest rates are still up. They're still higher than they were. We kind of came off the high in October. We got off the low kind of there in February was when it kind of hit a low part. We've been kind of peaking back up a little bit, but it hasn't slowed it hasn't created a whole bunch of new listings. It hasn't created a bunch more months of inventory. And that's one of the concerns that I think even the Feds have about changing interest rates. If anything, they're feeling like, well, maybe we do short term need to kind of still keep rates where they are, just allow the supply to catch up. But they're not adding new supply. A lot of it is because existing homeowners are not selling their homes. And builders have slowed down a little bit. Labor costs, some things like that. And just demand has slowed. And they're worried, okay, we want to maybe slow down a little bit because we think demand's going to slow even further. But I think it's going to be the other way really quick, like faster than it's going to take to build a house. If all of a sudden the builders say, okay, we need 1,000 homes by the end of the month, they're going to be months away to meet that demand. And you're not going to see a huge acceleration of existing homes going on the market. So I really think it's a time to get pre-approved. Find out what you qualify for. Yeah, maybe you can afford $2,500 a month. That's your number. And maybe before that was a lot more home than it is now. But if there is something available, it's better, I think, to buy it now. And if rates get better, great. Then you got a lower payment on the mortgage and you gain that appreciation that I think is going to hit us pretty good, especially through 2025. So this chart, I think, is really insightful. That's right down to Washington County of how our months of inventory kind of went up a little bit through the last quarter of last year, 2023, and how I really thought we'd actually keep that trend going the first quarter with the combination of interest rates and just more inventory kind of being added during those 2 months. And we're not seeing that yet. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens this second quarter if one of those numbers will kind of reverse and start getting back to whatever is a normal market, which I don't know what a normal supply of inventory is anymore because we've been so far in that 2 to 3 month range for a long time now, regardless of interest rates. You know, it's always stayed about there. All right, let's go to another slide here. I think I got a couple more, if I remember right. So that's our months of inventory. Oh, man, it's freezing on us. Oh, is that our last slide? Yeah. I thought I had one more. Maybe not. There's listing count, months in inventory. Okay, I guess that was it. All right, so that's really why the question we first started with this whole podcast today, is it better to buy than to rent? And I think yes, in more cases than not, the answer is yes. Now, does that mean it's always better to buy than rent? No, of course not. There's always going to be nuance. There's always going to be people that need more time, or they're still going to school, or you're going to have people that are working on their career, or they're relocating to an area, you know, getting married. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen within life, but really there's kind of some milestones that happen. There's some milestones that really happen in our lives. Being born might be a big one. What do you think, Freddie Mac? Being born is probably the first milestone, eh?
yeah, sure. We'll take it.
So we go being born. That's number one. But I mean, graduation. That's a pivotal moment in most of our lives. Kind of a start from childhood to adulthood. You know, it's kind of that milestone that you're progressing. And I think getting married is obviously a big one. And then buying a home. I don't know. You know, buying a car is cool. I mean, I love cars. There's a lot of people.
Well, you
know
get your first car, you get your second car, you get your third car.
Yeah.
Then you usually have your first house, your second house.
Yeah.
First wife, second wife.
Oh, man.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
That's only a 50-50 chance. It's only a 50-50 chance, people. So it is something where it's a big milestone, but it is in a certain time frame. You don't get a home before you graduate. You generally don't get a home before you get a car. So, I mean, there's definitely some progression there. But I really find that the more often that you can get into home ownership, you won't regret it. And it is scary. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be scary. It's going to be a higher payment. I don't know very many people that have a $1,000 rent payment that get a $1,000 mortgage, especially now. I mean, it's such a rare thing to be able to have.
I have it.
It's such
I
a rare
it.
Thing.
I got
to
lucky.
Have that. But, you know, it is. It's lucky. Like you said, it's totally lucky. But I'm amazed at how many people that I talk to that don't regret owning a home. There's very few people say, oh, man, you know, maybe 08. And then even then, it's flushed itself out. And most people, even if they overpay, I know a lot of people that overpaid or what they thought overpaid when they were offering way more than what the home was asking for, what it was even worth a few years ago. They're looking at it now like, hey, I'm doing great. And it's so hard to replace it. You don't see a lot of people that go from owning a home back to renting unless they're moving to a new area. Of course, there's always nuance to all this. But I really think the quicker you can get into home ownership, the better you're going to be in the long run. In some cases, in the short term even. But it is something where I think you're going to see more people have to team up to get the first home, especially in Southern Utah. You're going to have friends, went to college together, high school together, whatever. They may have to team up and buy that first home together. And then that's something where I can help you get that structured, get you pre-approved. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I'm seeing a lot more brothers and sisters, family members, just kind of generational first-time home buyers. That's what we're seeing a lot of, especially if you want to be in St. George, Washington City. If you don't want to have to drive from, say, Beaver Dam or Central or New Harmonies or, you know, some of these outskirt areas and have to have a 30-minute commute to get into work. So it is something we're kind of spoiled. I mean, I remember living in Salt Lake. It wasn't very uncommon to have an hour commute both ways. You know, they're just kind of, it was a big city. You had to go through the spaghetti bowl. You had to get around 215 and 72nd South, and you had to get around 90th South and throwing all kinds of names out there. But it is something where having a further commute is not necessarily uncommon, especially if you want to be able to get into the stage. And I'll just tell you, it's worth it. That's where I want to help you. Check out RyanBolton.com. Click like, subscribe, comment below. Love to talk to you about your options just to see where you're at now or what it would take to get you into home ownership. The sooner you start, the sooner you'll be ready to buy. So check out my website at RyanBolton.com. My name is Ryan, and I'm with Patriot Home Mortgage. We do lending in Utah and Nevada. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll catch you next time on the Clear to Close podcast.
This has been the Clear to Close podcast. Please submit your comments, questions, and topics for future episodes to cleartoclosepod@gmail.com. That's clear, the number two, closepod@gmail.com or ryanbolton.com. Please like, follow, and share. And until next time, this is the Clear to Close podcast. The views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Patriot Home Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 299717. This has been a production from a podcast studio.